Good morning and shalom. Once again, we thank God for the new morning the Lord has given to us. We celebrate His grace in our lives, the grace that He has given us so that we can be a blessing to the kingdom of God. We are looking at the Book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, chapter number 10, from verses 1 to 15. That's the part we want to look at it today. It's good to realize that the book of 2 Corinthians can be summarized into three major parts. One, Chapter 1, all the way to 7, Paul is talking about how to receive comfort and how to give comfort with the comfort that God has given you. He said that every comfort comes from God. God is a source of comfort. And when He comforts us, it's not necessary for us to be comfortable. Though it's not bad to be comfortable, but it's for us to comfort others with the comfort the Lord has given us. And so he gave the dynamics of that comfort, how he received the comfort, and the trouble he went through in Minor Asia, in Macedonia, and in Achaia, in Galatia. He explained that he went through difficulties, but the Lord gave him comfort. And so he was supposed to give that comfort to his sons in Corinth, and thus he did. So that's first part. Second part of the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians is chapter 8 and 9, particularly that part talks about Paul encouraging the church at Corinth, who had been encouraged, who have been comforted from their many troubles, to extend their comfort to a different group, to the mother church in Jerusalem. The mother church was already going through a very difficult situation by then. They were in trouble because of lack of food. You remember, there were so many widows in Jerusalem, as it is given in Acts 6, very many of them. Probably their husbands were killed, we do not know, but there was very many widows from Greek and Jewish origin. Number two, most of them were not working, and even the brothers while they were not working, because when they converted, most of their jobs were taken away, and they were thrown away. Number three, they were thrown away from the temple. Remember, the temple was the center of civilization in God's people. It is through the temple that people would even be able to get jobs and provision. And so when they converted, the Sadducees, who are the leaders of the temple and the synagogue, chased them away. And so brothers could not be able to get any help. And so they were vulnerable. And so Paul knew that they needed help. And if help did not come from God through the rest of the church, this church was in trouble. And finally, there was a famine that had struck that particular area of Judea, and the church in Jerusalem, and the church in Jerusalem needed help from the rest of the church, because the church of Jesus Christ is one, and when one part of the church is touched, the whole of it is touched. So Paul, chapter 8 and 9, he encouraged them to comfort the Jerusalem church. Number three, and the last part, is chapter 10 all the way to 13, the one that we are looking at now, is that Paul would now turn his bullets on the super apostles, false apostles, false teachers, those who thought that Paul had extended his authority beyond boundaries. And so Paul wanted to penalize them. He wanted to expose them. He wanted to make people know that these were not true apostles of God, and they are the one who had infiltrated the ranks and wanted this church to return back to the traditions and continue to bring discomfort because they were not using the grace of God. So in chapter 10, Paul will be talking about, from chapter 10 all the way, he will be comparing himself with the apostles, those other false apostles. And by so doing, he chose to give the marks. What are the marks that distinguish true apostles and false apostles? So we want to look at about five marks. But in this particular session, we want to look at the first mark, and that is the mark of authority. Every apostle must have authority. We must have the authority that come from God. And in looking at the authority, it is good to realize that authority or biblical authority has got some principles. Biblical authority, we must look at, one of the principles is, what is the source of that authority? Where does it come from? And you discover that biblical authority come from God. So as Paul compares himself with authority, with the other super apostles or false apostles, as they were called, who assumed their own authority, he would expose that the true biblical authority come from God. Then he would also talk about the boundaries of authority. Boundaries of authority would tell you that because you have got different types of authority, we have got absolute authority and you have got delegated authority. The delegated authority definitely has boundaries. You cannot go, you cannot exceed the boundaries of that authority allowed you by God. You also be able to look at the obstacles of authority, those that stops the authority of God to be implemented or enacted among believers. And also we want to use, to look at how Paul would use the authority. And Paul emphasized that his authority was used not to destroy them, but to build them up. That is the divine authority. That is the authority given by God. That is the authority, means the permission. How God permits the believers to say. And Paul was saying, no, I was permitted to, I have authority because I founded you. God sent me for 1.5 years to start this church, to start you off. I am your father in faith. A father has got authority over his sons. And the father is supposed to use that authority not to destroy his sons, but to build them up. But some people think that my authority is strong when I'm writing, but it's weak when I'm with you. But I want you to know that my authority is the same, whether I am writing or I am with you. But that authority is supposed to bring down the strongholds of the enemy, so that the enemy that would stop you to know the word of God would be put down by this authority. And that's what he's talking about, this authority. He defends his authority as a servant of God. And that's a mark of all apostles, of all men of God. So Paul says, let me read a little. Now, I, Paul, appeal to you with the gentleness and kindness of Christ. Though I realize that you think I'm timid in person and bold only when I write from far away. That's what these people are saying. It was the accusation, as they accused the authority of Paul. Well, I'm begging you now so that when I come, I won't have to be bold with those who think we act from human motives. That is, the thought does not come from human or from human motivations. We are human, yes, but we don't wage war as humans do. How do you wage your war? We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human listening and to destroy false arguments. To be good to realize that the thought we have is that our warfare is not carnal, but mighty in God. We knock down all the strongholds of human listening. Now, that's where our authority is focused, is to destroy, is to knock down those strongholds of human listening, is to destroy false arguments. People who do not want to talk about Christ, they raise false arguments in the lives of people. We knock down those. That's why God has given us that authority. That permission is given to destroy. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. Now, there are people who do not want God's people to know God. We destroy those obstacles. We capture their rebellion thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. That's what God has called us for. And after you have become fully obedient, we'll punish everyone who remains disobedient. Look at the obvious fact. Those who say they belong to Christ must recognize that we belong to Christ as much as they do. I may seem to be boasting too much, but the authority given us by the Lord, but our authority builds you up. It doesn't tear you down. So I will not be ashamed of using my authority. It's Paul speaking. I'm not trying to frighten you with my letters. For some says, Paul's letters are demanding and forceful, but in person he is weak and his speech is worthless. Those people should realize that our actions when we are live in person will be as forceful as what we say in our letters from far away. Oh, don't worry. We won't dare say that we are as wonderful as those other men who tell you how important they are, but they are only comparing themselves with each other, using themselves as the standard of measurement. How ignorant. We will not boast about things done outside our area of authority. We'll boast only about what has happened within the boundaries of the work God has given us, which includes our working with you. We are not reaching beyond those boundaries when we claim authority over you as if we have never visited you. For we were the first to travel all the way to Corinth with the good news of Jesus. Now, nor do we boast and claim credit for the work someone else has done. Instead, we hope that your faith will grow so that the boundaries of our work among you will be extended. Father, we thank you for the authority that you've given us, not to destroy, but to build God's people. In Jesus' name.